GM, GM, friends, you are now listening to the Degen Aussie Apes, bringing you another weekly session on all things crypto and NFTs. Let's go. It's the money. GM, GM, Wasi.
GM, Shaheen, how are you, mate?
Not too bad, and yourself?
Yeah, doing good, man. For a rainy day.
I know, starting to rain. I think we're going to predict at 100 mils over the next couple of days. So it's going to be wet, wet, wet over here in Sydney, Australia. But how's your week been since we last caught up? We've been crushing those goals.
Yeah, yeah. Leveling up in that department, putting in more reps and, yeah, 1% better every day, my friend.
Amen, man. It's what it's about. But guys, for all yous tuning in today, I mean, I think it's best we start with that good old BTC update, Wasi, what's happening?
Bitcoin is the sun in the universe of crypto. And that's why we start with this segment. I'm looking at it right now, 30,639 US. We've hit a price action that we haven't seen since June 2nd last year.
Well, I mean, and you're calling the 40,000 mark. I mean, we were talking about that last episode, and it looks like we're well on the way.
We are well on the way.
And exciting.
Yeah, 100%. And the headlines, yeah, mate. Lots been going on there too. News from Hong Kong, news from the US. It's quite interesting. I'm not going to pick one single headline today because they all have the same theme. How coincidental is it that the SEC is suing the DEXs, the exchanges where people can get Bitcoin, and now that all that's, you know, on hold, and all of a sudden financial institutions and asset managers are submitting all their applications for ETF. And there's a lot of headlines around that. And to share with listeners is, you know, we're going to do a flashback from a history perspective. 28th of June, 2014, in the world of Bitcoin, was the first time a U.S. government entity sold Bitcoin. It was actually 30,000 Bitcoin that they had seized from Silk Road, and they ran an auction and sold it. That was 2014 on this day.
Crazy. I love that. I love how crazy this market is. What's going on? Guys, get your popcorn. Strap in. It is a crazy ride. But it sort of brings me into another world of craziness, and it's the craziness around AI. Is it friend? Is it foe? I mean, guys, we want to take you on a bit of a journey and dive into the fascinating, I guess sometimes bewildering world of AI, because we don't really know how it works, what's going on for the everyday person. But really, is it our friend? I mean, we know it's aiding us in areas from healthcare to climate change, which we'll touch on. It's making our lives easier and more efficient. But is it also a foe? You know, does it have the potential to perpetuate biases or infringe on our privacy or displace human jobs? We're going to get into all of this a bit today, because I think we really need to provide some clarity for all our listeners, because we've gone down the journey of AI since OpenAI came out, and we use it on the daily. It's become a real just norm. Everything's just straight to ChatGPT, whether it's blogs, whether it's emails, with anything like that. And it amazes me how many people are not adopting this technology and sort of using it like a superpower. But guys, I think it's a really relevant topic. I think it's something that, you know, is weighing on people's minds. And we sort of want to go through, I guess, the history, a bit of the birth of ChatGPT, really the pros and cons of this technology, but also what the future holds for AI. So for everyone listening, I mean, please send us comments, ask us questions. If you're on social media, make sure you share this podcast, like, follow, subscribe, get it to everyone, because it's serious questions. And I guess it's a topic that we really need to look into.
100%. And the beauty about our podcast is we will always present both sides of the coin. That's why I'm here, Shaheen, you know, and yeah, we're ready to go. This is a hot topic.
Well, I think it's important to sort of start at the history of AI. And I get history is boring, but we should never forget those that do not know their history are doomed to repeat it. AI is not a new thing. we can pretty much track it back to pre-1950s, which was this like conceptual phase. You know, you had the idea of creating machines that can reason and learn dates. And it was very much a dream, in my opinion. It was definitely not what we're looking at now. But I guess that's what happens. I mean, with technology, as things are sort of working. But we had that conceptual. We had the idea. We had machines. We wanted to make these machines learn. And we wanted it to be sort of that physical attribute to us. You know, you drive a tractor or, you know, you get a shovel or all these different things. You have machines that we focused our technology on. And we've really taken a big step forward when it comes to AI in learning. But predominantly back then, like we were looking at as that, I guess, that extension to ourselves. How do we dig that hole faster? How do we get more output in the end of the day?
How do we travel longer? How do we get more fresh food? How do we supply water to a city that is in its planning phases? You know, like a lot of real life use cases there, and technology and AI or artificial intelligence, like Shaheen was saying. I mean, that term was coined in 1956, so it's not a brand new concept, but we'll talk about what that means today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we had this conceptual phase, but it wasn't until between the 1950s to 60s that it was actually the birth of AI, especially the term being coined artificial intelligence, which was by a man called John McCarthy at a conference at Dartmouth College in 1956. So the ideas were there. People had the foresight and were working towards, I guess, where we are today. However, 1970s to 1980s, we sort of had this AI winter. There was a lot of skepticism. There was a lot of disappointment after initial enthusiasm and super high expectations, which I feel as humans we do all the time. We just have these super high expectations. Why isn't it here now? Things take time to build. And take time to build to a point when you get to mass adoption like we are today, where you sort of just wake up and guess what, guys? It's here. And that was ChatGPT. I mean, then we sort of had the 80s and 90s. You had a bit of an AI spring. You had a resurgence in AI. People sort of had these, I guess they got those realistic expectations of the technology. But I guess it was a good 40 years to get us to where we are today with the birth of ChatGPT. And guys, we talk a lot about ChatGPT because ChatGPT was what brought it to your dinner table at home. We all knew about AI. We all thought it was some Skynet thing, you know, the Terminator. But it wasn't until the birth of ChatGPT where someone at your dinner table or one of your friends at school or something at work, a colleague, that said, hey, have you checked out ChatGPT? It has fundamentally changed absolutely everything. Personally, for me, I use it daily. And when I say daily, it's not a lie. I mean, Wasi sees me work every day. The first thing in the mornings, I'm on ChatGPT. I'm building my YouTube channel. It's times 10 my efficiency. And that's no word of a lie. I remember when I used to do threads on Twitter, I'd sit and I would look around and I'd pick a few subjects and then I'd write a thread and I'd get it up. And then I'd say, oh no, you know, there's a spelling mistake or there's a grammar issue. And then I got ChatGPT and I went from each thread was taking me 45 minutes to do, it was taking me 5 minutes. Time is the one commodity that is priceless that you have.
And that's what technology is all about. I mean, from idea, you know, you have a brilliant idea to execution and delivery. That's exactly what you just described. And all of us are trying to fit more and more into our days. It's like, okay, we got to plan the day. We got to do this. We got to do that. What's the short-term plan? What's the medium-term plan? What's the long-term plan? And you put these plans and tasks and goals together, and then life gets in the way. So this is a really good way for you to actually cut out the noise, have your own personal assistant, right, to get stuff done. And how much happier will you be? What sort of mindset will you be in? You know what I mean? So there's that angle to it. And that may scare some people, Shaheen, of course.
Yeah, and I think it's, I wouldn't say a lack of education or anything like that. Maybe a lack of initiative to actually learn what this is about. I'm a big believer in, there's a lot of bad stuff that happens in the world. I can't control that. I, you know, sit with people that are conspiracy theorists. They tell me all these things. And you know what? A lot of things, hey, you hit the nail on the head. But what can I do? What I can do is utilize these technologies to create a better life for my family, to create financial freedom for myself. I understand there's pros and I understand there's cons, and we're going to discuss this, guys. But, you know, going in there and actually adopting and using this technology, because you can't fight it. It is here. One thing with technology, guys, when the technology is here, it's here. You can't put it back in a box. You can't pack it up and say, you know what, we're not going to use this. No, it's birthed, it's here, and it's going to get better and better and faster.
And you can, you can. Let's play that game a little bit. Yeah, you can pack your belongings, put them in a car, take the family and go buy a farm and disconnect from the grid. You could do that. And that's a great life, you know. But even that life can actually be improved with what we're talking about. The other side I wanted to point out is you, instead of fighting it, like Shaheen was saying, pick the part of it that actually you can leverage, because there's thousands of applications, real life applications that we'll get into, a few of them, and they're now available to you and I. Then that's the key thing. It's just a service that we can use. Think of it that way.
Mm. And that's the thing, like you said, thousands of applications where AI is being used. I've said it to a lot of people, AI has affected every single industry. You just don't know it yet, because it could be the back end. It could be on the supply end. You could be a beautician and say, well, yeah, how's it affected me? Well, are your manufacturers and suppliers where you buy your equipment from, are they utilizing AI? Are people losing their jobs because of this in the back end? You're not seeing it in the front end. It hasn't gotten to that point, but it will come. We talk about Uber and we say, you know what? Most likely Uber drivers will be out of a job in the next 2 to 3 years because we'll have self-automated cars doing that. You know, that's what Elon Musk is building. So there's a lot of things that are concerning, but if you don't get into the technology, if you don't start utilizing it to benefit yourself, turn yourself into that superhero. Believe me, this is what is happening. We have seen people drop a token called Turbo, referencing back to our cryptocurrency that was built on ChatGPT. Go onto YouTube, check it out, guys. It is a fascinating story where $150 spent on ChatGPT building this token turned a market cap. I think it nearly was at $50 or $60 million.
Ridiculous.
This is amazing. You don't need the level of coding that you needed before. It can build your bots. It can do everything. So many base layers are built off ChatGPT. It's funny, I got a phone call from someone the other day saying, hey, I've just downloaded the ChatGPT app and it's $50 for the year. And I said, well, it's not ChatGPT. Its base layer, yes, is ChatGPT. I said, but what these people are doing is they've built a nice UI. They've made it a bit more friendlier. And you're using the free version. You're not using, you're not actually paying for the ChatGPT 4.
You're not getting it from the
You're paying someone vendor. Else that's using a free version. So do this due diligence, guys. Yeah. Have a look and see what's going on.
Yeah, and I want to go back to the car analogy. You know, but as we open the segment, there's a lot of historical content that we'll be sharing with our audience, because when we're watching history repeat itself, we all remember Ford and Holden. What happened to the car industry when machines came into it? You know what I mean? We're going through the same thing. It wasn't the end of the world. Yes, those factory workers were impacted. But you know what? We have cars now that are affordable. When you get into the car and feel that you've got apps, Apple Play, what an invention. You know, that technology to basically say, I've got my phone with me, and as soon as I get my car, I can continue the experience. Where do you think all that came from? You know, technology and a lot of the machine learning and AI. I mean, I'm in the business world in IRL. We've been talking about virtual assistants for the last 5 years. All that's happened here is a breakthrough in neural networks where they've made it so human-like and accessible to people that not only the niche group of people that were using this technology can leverage it, the whole planet can.
And people need to remember, I mean, I've heard people reference ChatGPT and all this stuff. Well, it's just a chatbot. But at the same time, guys, it's so much more. You know, ChatGPT utilizes reinforcement learning. If, for example, it was spitting out the wrong information, you know, what's the capital of Australia? Sydney. And you say, no, it's the ACT, it's Canberra. It will have that reinforcement learning, which I guess you could view as a cardinal rule being broken. I believe that we've opened Pandora's box. I'm super bullish, don't get me wrong, on this technology. And I, like I said, I use it every day. But there was a couple of things in my mind that I guess shouldn't have been done, which was teaching it how to program and reinforcement learning. But I guess that's a discussion and a deeper discussion for another day. But I want to look at some of the good stuff, because there's so much good that this technology is bringing that we just don't know about. A perfect example is healthcare. Currently, AI has been used to predict diseases, diagnose conditions, personal treatment, improve patient care. A perfect example is Google's DeepMind, which was a developed AI system that actually outperformed humans in diagnosing eye diseases using retinal scans. Someone had sat on ChatGPT, and guys, first I just have to say, always check your doctors. Let's not be Google doctors. But, you know, someone had gone into ChatGPT, put his blood test results in there, and found out what was wrong with him, just like that. So if we take that and we put it to where doctors are, how much faster, how much better is your doctor? I go to the GP, and I'm the general practitioner for everyone listening, and I sit for an hour. He's having a chat. He's trying to figure out. He's doing a process of elimination. What if there's a level of AI?
How many visits? You know, I'm sure all of us have loved ones that maybe have ailments or have recently, you know, interacted with the healthcare of the country they're in. And I can guarantee that 85% of those conversations are filled with frustration, regret, confusion, uncertainty, and doubt. I have a personal story here. You know, there's been stuff going on for a month and countless doctors consulted, and the progress is very slow. You know, so what if in healthcare with AI now, we can all start experiencing that sort of stuff? It's a pretty deep moment if you think about it.
Yeah, it's remarkable. There's actually an initiative called Save the Bees, which is a worldwide beekeeping project which gathers data through different sensors, microphones, and all that. But all that data is then put into AI algorithms. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to analyze this data to identify patterns and trends that could pretty much direct early intervention. Mm. We have a massive issue with varroa mite. It's killing all the bees. We're trying to prevent that from coming into Australia. There was actually a story where pretty much we could get 20% of the world's cattle could come from Africa, but people aren't buying it. They're not buying it because a lot of the time the cattle is stolen. A lot of the time it has diseases. So there's a particular tick that the cattle get, and what they do is they dip it in a solution. Well, they're currently using AI and even blockchain technology that once this cattle is dipped in the solution and, yep, you get that tick that, you know, it's disease-free, it's good to buy, it is actually immutable because it is on a blockchain. AI is bringing this all together where I feel a level of trust if I'm purchasing it from Australia saying, okay, we need to buy X amount of head of cattle. We can buy it from that farmer in Africa. He can make money because we trust. It is absolutely immutable, the information we are getting. This is a disease-free beast. It is affecting every single industry.
Well, let's keep it on the human side and healthcare for one more, which is people with disabilities, guys. You know, can you just imagine how the world is going to change for the better? You know, just the other month in Europe, in Switzerland, I think I may have mentioned this. There's been a gentleman that finally was able to think about moving his leg and was able to do so because of the AI algorithms. You know, he was in a car accident, he's been on a bionic leg, but you need a joystick to move. Like it's better than nothing, but this whole idea of just thinking a thought and then the machine understanding what you're trying to do and move your leg for you. Just one of the many examples of tools that will come out for disabled people, sight, etc.
Put that to the side. I mean, this is what Elon Musk is doing with Neuralink.
Mm.
So, guys, if you're not familiar with Neuralink, it's a chip implanted in your brain that will help quadriplegics, paraplegics walk again. It will bypass your nervous system, reconnect it all, add in AI, and add in this deep learning. We will see disabled people walk again. If we've seen how far technology has come from when you just had your CD player and a tape deck in a car to Apple Pay and now streaming music and now Spotify, all these things just becoming so mainstream so fast. I mean, there was a company that used AI and augmented reality to create a free mobile app, which was called StorySign, that actually helps deaf children learn, pretty much to read by translating the text into a sign language. It's
fascinating.
It's fascinating. They're using AI to track disorders in children and facing different emotions. It's just like, for example, there's an AI that's taken an emotion into a short, simple sound for the blind. This is mind-blowing. People will see again. People will walk again. People will talk again. And it's coming so quick. There's a law out there, guys. We talk about it often, Moore's Law, where any issue that we have in technology will be gone in 2 years' time. You know, the birth of transistors was huge. Well, what happens when we get into the quantum computing? What happens when we're computing with atoms? Everything is changing. You have to adapt. If you're stuck in the mud now and you think that this model of going to work and just, you know, I get my 4 weeks annual leave. I had a phone call from someone the other day that said to me, "Happy Friday." I couldn't believe, what do you mean happy Friday? I'm happy every day to get up and grind. I'm happy every day to get up and learn things like AI and understand how my world is changing. It is not a celebration that the weekend has come. It is not Monday-itis. This is the old mentality, guys. You have to break this, embrace these technologies because it's changing everything. Me and Wasi have lists here that we want to go through, just small points on ways that AI is changing the face of the world as we know it.
I betcha I can... I know what 90% of our listeners right now are thinking, Shaheen. You know what that is? But I don't have time to learn this new stuff. I do not have time. I'm listening to this. I'm reading this book. And we have 168 hours a week, folks. You know, 40 hours for work. You know, we've got plenty of hours out there. And yeah, we can talk about that at a different time. But we're just trying to encourage you to embrace this, you know, instead of it being forced upon you. That's the point we're trying to make.
And also drop the fears. This is doing amazing stuff around the world. Another cool example is wildlife conservation in Hawaii. And AI pretty much is being used in conservation efforts. So what they're doing with the University of Hawaii, they're doing an endangered seabird recovery project. So they're using AI to analyze audio to detect the number of collisions between birds and power lines. They're also using unmanned aerial vehicles to spot poachers. Obviously, poaching is a massive problem, and locate animals. Then data is being analyzed by machine learning tools to predict poacher and animal activity. Ridiculous.
It is amazing. And what that means to all of us is our kids and grandkids will still have these animals to go visit in the zoo. It's quite important,
right? It's important. And I want to just say to everyone, because, you know, the next thing you're going to think is that, oh, you know, they're watching my every move. Guys, they've already watched it. They know everything you look up. Those sneaky little porn websites, every single thing that you're looking, they know. You know, they once you got your phone 10 years ago, 12 years ago, once that Apple hit your pocket, they knew.
Yeah. Guys, simple question. Can you take out the battery out of an iPhone? No. Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that. Did you know that 30% of the space is actually not accessible to us? You know, so don't think of, you know, too much conspiracy theory stuff, because with whatever technology was around, right, the government was listening and all that sort of stuff, that's not going to go away. But if you know what to do and what not to do, you will be able to enjoy more of the pros than the cons of AI.
Just remarkable. Like Wasi said, put all that to the side. If you had an issue with your data being taken, you should have marched the streets 12 years ago. It's too late. Understand it, know it, put preventative measures in place, but utilize the technology that is at hand. Another cool thing that what they're doing with AI is they're trying to combat world hunger. So AI is being used to analyze millions of data points to help determine the perfect crop, develop seeds, maximize current output, and control herbicide application precisely. And that's really, really important. That last point, control herbicide application precisely. GMOs, guys, herbicides, pesticides is a huge issue. So many people die so young. It's the fuel you're putting in your body. There was a study being done where they bought some strawberries from the local supermarket, and when they juiced them, they find 10 times the amount of normal pesticides and herbicides that should be in there. You could spray the crop again.
That is
we're
shocking.
Buying it, we're drinking it. Yeah. So this, if these systems can help us do these applications precisely, just enough what we need, that is so important to our own health and longevity of life. It's not something to be scared of. This is something I feel that to us, we should embrace.
Spotting fake news. I want to talk about that as well because listeners can relate to this, right? I just feel there's so much noise out there. There's noise and there's so much fake news, right? And I'm actually excited about AI from a different angle because if AI, I mean, look at the plugins that we're using, Shaheen. Like if you know that an authenticated or authorized search of reputable sites are being conducted, which means if you want to learn something about anything or look at the latest news, you know that what AI is returning to you is actually true and not fake. There's a lot of work going on in that space, I wanted to add, because that should help us all, you know, once we are able to navigate this space and find the right sources of information, bringing out the information, which is the same in any industry, but AI being the hot topic and things moving so fast, I think it's important.
Yeah, I think it's a good point that you touched on, which I guess will bring us into some negative use cases, deepfakes being the number one, the most spoken about. There was a deepfake of that actress, Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot, that was porn that they used to create that voice. Can we trust voices? Can we trust, you know, if you went to court and you played a voicemail, is it a deepfake or not? But I'm sure that all this is being taken into consideration and there will be legislation, there will be things to determine and, you know, to say that this is a deep fake. For example, if someone's spruiking a product on Instagram, there's actual thing that says this is a paid promotion to let people know that this influencer is actually being paid to spruik the product. So I'm sure watermarks or some sort of something will be brought in to tackle that, because obviously that is, to me, probably one of the most biggest concerns. I know another huge concern for people is job displacement.
Yeah, big one.
And guys, it is coming. This is why I am saying use this technology, whether it helps you start your YouTube automation channel, it helps you bring in that secondary income. I believe that the first people that will really be affected, and we were chatting this off air, is what happens with Uber. You know, I know like my father-in-law, he's an Uber driver. Is he in a job 2 years? We have automated cars. Elon Musk has spent the last 6 to 7 years mapping and AI mapping all the roads around the world with his Teslas. He owns the technology. It is all coming. Job displacement, machines, all of it, it's concerning. Mm. It's concerning for the future generations. We already have issues with Gen Z. We already have issues with people not wanting to work. We are in serious inflation. They've debased our currency to no end. There's stimulus just to stay home. COVID. Now this, guys, the world, as you know, has changed completely.
Mm.
Another issue I find and I'm worried about is the bias of AI. Can it perpetuate and amplify, you know, social biases? And that's pretty concerning because people are using this maliciously. There's different apps. There's actually an app that was jailbroken of ChatGPT that actually assisted a guy in committing suicide. It encouraged him. It gave him the easiest ways to do it. And he committed suicide.
Just that dark scenario is enough to make someone, you know, pause and think. It is a shock to the system. And all we can say is, yeah, I mean, that's we're in a new frontier. And there are going to be things we learn the hard way. You know, and there will always be corporations trying to take shortcuts. I mean, that, you know, the submarines fiasco is an example of that, you know, big controversy there. And the same is with AI. And it's definitely one of the negative use cases because where's the transparency? Who's doing what? What are the laws to protect us? Is the government doing enough about this? Do they ban it? Like, there's millions of questions that can make headlines.
It's huge, guys. And guys, the governments have a lot on the plate. I'm not one to stick up for governments, but you've got issues in blockchain, decentralization, DeFi finance, where people are utilizing tools that really they shouldn't be. I mean, some of the stuff in the stock world, it's criminal. But we're decentralized and we're yearning for that. It's all concerning on how do they keep up, because regulation at times is important. if we had better regulation and we said no, that submarine could not go in the water because you're using a PlayStation, using general consumer electronics, 3,000 meters, you're at the bottom of the sea, would we have had these disasters? I mean, I'm not one to stop progress in technology, but sometimes you just need to take a step back. I mean, we couldn't even, when Elon Musk and everyone came out saying, you know, just stop AI for 6 months, that couldn't be done. You cannot stop this. Another issue I see with AI is, especially things like ChatGPT, will it make the lazy man more lazy? And I say that in, will you create a dependence on the AI so you're not really learning, you're just copy pasting, quick type, thank you very much. You know, the beauty of the human mind is learning and something clicking. I mean, sometimes you have to read something six times for it to click. But if ChatGPT just spits out the response and you just copy and paste, well, shame on you. You're just being the lazy man. You're just being lazier. Don't create that dependence on AI.
And if you peel the layers of the onion a few more layers, let's say you're a knowledge worker, right? You've been doing it for years. What we're talking about here is something we mentioned earlier. Like if you're a creative person, if you're a hard worker, and I love Shaheen for saying, you know, if you're a lazy man, yep, it's going to make you more lazy. But if you're a productive, energetic person, back to the positives, that's going to help you achieve more. And when you ask AI or even DALL-E, the one that creates images for you, there's a big difference. If you and I are talking to DALL-E AI right now, and we pick a word, honey, you know, what we say to the AI is going to make your picture a lot different to my picture. So that's still there. It doesn't mean people are going to be equal and people that don't know anything are going to be equal to you. No, because you're going to be a few levels up and using that technology, you know, in a different way. So that negative is actually more neutral if you think about it.
Yeah, I agree. For everyone listening, guys, prompting is key. Utilizing these AIs. Spend some time on YouTube. Become a prompt engineer. There's heaps of Discords that are just built just for prompting where you can ask any question. It's all about the prompt. There's some good pros or great pros. There's some cons. But what is the future of AI? Where is this all heading? And I sort of brought it down to, I guess there was about five things that I brought down to where the future of AI is heading. And the biggest thing that stood out to me was the democratization of AI. And it's funny, like Pablo Picasso once said, every child is an artist. The problem is how to remain an artist once we grow up. But I believe through the democratization of AI, this is possible. Because I don't need to be a coder to write code now. I don't need to have an arts degree and know Photoshop in depth and have a degree in Photoshop to make a beautiful art piece. I can use Midjourney. I'm using ChatGPT. All of a sudden, I don't have to pay the developer to create my bot. ChatGPT is making my bot. We've democratized the AI. We are that child once again that's becoming the artist because now it's all about our creativity. Now it's the possibilities to me are endless. And this is a massive change.
And I just want to add to that. When we say art or artist, and you're sitting there listening going, but I'm not an artist, but do you take photos? How many people capture a moment? You know, being able to capture that moment so much better. You know, it's not often we quote Picasso, but that was a ripper quote, Shaheen. Nice one.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know me, I do like my quotes. But another thing is generative AI. And I guess maybe we could say that's the next vibrant palette of AI. Sticking to our art theme. Imagine an AI, guys, that could paint its own unique picture from a single strike of a color. Pretty much that's what you're doing. And that's generative AI. It's OpenAI, ChatGPT models, all that stuff. It's made waves in the space because it was capable of creating basically synthetic content that was pretty much indistinguishable from a human. There was actually a couple of years ago an art competition somewhere in America, I can't remember exactly where the person that won the first prize had made that art through Midjourney. And he put in a lot of hours refining. I think he put in about 80 or 90 hours just refining that art piece. Won first place, then told everyone he made it with AI. Little bit of an uproar, but still won the competition, won the prize money.
But it's still his original thought. You know?
Well, that's the thing. And that's a really good point, is it's still his original thought. Another way I see the future heading is, and we all know this is coming, we've got Apple's announcement coming in, it's already been announced, hasn't it, with the VR glasses and
the Vision Pro, my friend.
Yes, that's been announced, which is augmented working. And it's, but AI and augmented reality and augmented working is going to be the norm. You're going to sit, you're going to have your Apple Pro, you're going to be at home working, you're going to jump into the quick meeting, everyone's sitting around the board table, everyone's an avatar. This will become a normal way of life. I've had an Oculus for 2 years now, and it's amazing. And I say to people, have you tried the Oculus before? Augmented reality, VR, and they laugh. And then I put the Oculus on them, and they're like, when did this come? This is amazing.
Yeah, and for those listeners, if you don't know what we're talking about, just Google Apple Vision Pro and just watch the trailer. Watch the trailer and just sit back there and go, what would I do with this capability? It's quite mind-bending, but it will bring a smile to a lot of dials. That's the point.
Well, that's the thing. And guys, I guess the last thing where I see this future being headed is more of the sustainable AI. Sustainability is a huge topic. Climate change. We saw the uproar with Bitcoin and the mining process. And, and then we turned around and went to proof of stake on Ethereum, and we dropped the energy consumption by 95%. Sustainability is at the forefront of everything we look at. And AI can help with that because it can reduce the carbon footprints. It can help the infrastructure. At the same time, it can help companies potentially identify sources of waste and inefficiency. It is benefiting our lives dependent on how we use them. And I want to finish off with actually a quote from Steve Jobs. Pretty much he said, technology is nothing. What's important is that you have faith in people, that they are basically good and smart, and if you give them the tools, they will do wonderful things with them. You don't need to understand the baseline of how everything works, guys. I don't need to understand that the blockchain is immutable. Don't need to sit and know, read 195 white paper on Ethereum to understand the proof of work consensus algorithms and all the, yes, it's good to know and go down those rabbit holes over time. But I don't need to understand how the blockchain works to buy a coin. I buy the coin, I do my research, I'm here to make a profit. I don't need to understand how the AI is working to write an article. So just get in there, dive in, start using it, benefit your businesses, benefit your lives, and make sure you like, listen, subscribe, because there's so much more alpha that both me and Wasi will be coming to deliver to you on the weekly.
Absolutely. Do not fear the unknown, folks. Dare to be adventurous in life. See you next time.